What up, people? It's your boy, the host with the most, I do not break a boast. I'm coming to you guys live from coast to coast. It's your boy, I'm Chris the Dom One, and welcome to another edition of I'm Chris the Dom One podcast, episode 161. How you living? I'm living swell. Please be sure to share this with your friends, family, and followers. Also, support the channel as well as the podcast even more. I'm also going to be downloading these episodes on my YouTube channel. And my YouTube channel is I'm Chris the Dom One. Just type that in. You'll find it. Hit the subscription button, the notification bell, and share it with your friends, family, as followers, as well as your mammy, your pappy, your grandfather, your grandmama, whoever, your uncle, your auntie, whoever. All right? So we're going to get into today's topic, and today's topic I did a video on, as well as I did a poll on my social media handles. The record sales, well, the album sales has came out for Sweetie's mix EP, and the verdict's in, and it only managed to do 2K in sales. I'm not talking about NBA YoungBoy 2K. I'm not talking about NBA 2K, okay? I'm not talking about Y2K, okay? I'm talking about Sweetie's EP, the single Life, only managed to do 2K in sales. Now, that was last week's that, you know, with all the numbers being put in, and by the way, that was an early result, okay? It wasn't 100% factual, but it later on came out to be true. And I feel like a lot of people are, depending on which side of the plexiglass window you're looking from, a lot of people want to use this information and destroy female rappers as a whole. And people will say, well, see, that's why when it comes to rapping, you know, a lot of music fans don't support these female artists, or these female artists don't really have talent. All they got to do is just twerk a little bit, you know, look good. And next thing you know, they have a hit. I do feel like if you're judging female rappers as a whole, you're doing an in-service and a misjustice for female rappers. I feel like there are a lot of extraordinary, talented female rappers. The most biggest one, in my humble opinion, could easily make it in the top 10 for the greatest male and female rappers of all time. And that's one, Nicki Minaj. Now, hate it or love it, I know there's a lot of haters out there that don't like Nicki Minaj. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like Nicki Minaj's tactics when it comes to social media, particularly in the blogs and things of that nature. And a lot of people really don't like Nicki Minaj because of who she's married to. But if you separate all the messiness, and if you separate the person from the art, the talent, Nicki Minaj is still the hottest female rapper, even though she's 40. And I do feel like there's some slippage with Nicki Minaj, particularly with the competition. I think Cardi B is up there. I think Cardi B has stolen a lot of her fan base, has stolen a lot of her, you know, mystique and aura. You know, a lot of you know, fans, you know, you're either a Nicki Minaj fan or a Cardi B fan. You can't be both. And I think Cardi B is pulling a lot of her fans away from her. But if you look at it, and like I said, if you separate the individual from the art, Nicki Minaj has some bomb, I mean, and bomb meaning good, great songs in her catalog. Have a ton of great, I feel like she has two of my favorite Nicki Minaj albums, besides it cranking out a lot of hit singles, are the best albums, okay? Now she has come out with some albums that are questionable. She has come out with some albums. Her latest album, it didn't do the numbers that a lot of people were expecting Nicki Minaj to do. And I just feel like when you're in the music biz, there's not a lot of longevity in music, okay? Particularly in rap. You know, you get a hot, good 4 years, you may can squeeze it into five, you may can squeeze it into six or seven, but eventually there's going to be slippage, and the next young artist who's kind of similar to you as far as style and looks go, nine times out of ten, a lot of fans will start gravitating to that artist. And I feel like that's what's going on, and that trend is going on with Nicki Minaj. But Cardi B has stolen a lot of her thunder. I think to a small extension, Meg Thee Stallion has stolen some of her thunder. And, a lot of these artists have took little bits and pieces from Nicki Minaj stardom and her celebrity, particularly in the hip hop world. But moving forward and moving towards Sweetie, and how is this relevant to Sweetie? I feel like with Sweetie, and there's a rotation with these females. It's not only Sweetie, but it's Big Lotto. It's a lot of artists that fall under that bubblegum type of music. The City Girls is also on this list of women that look very attractive, that look very good, that use what they have as far as their looks and body go, as far as their flair, as their celebrity. And the music is just a small layer of icing on the big cake that they have already made for themselves. I consider that group of females not really embedded in the hip hop culture, or just sitting in the lab recording tracks. And I'm not basing it on do they write their own material. You don't have to write your own material to be the best rapper, as long as you have a voice. And long as you can ad lib, particularly with the lyrics that were already written to you, I feel like that's a plus. And when you look at these women, and this is not a knock on them, I feel like Sweetie and the City Girls, I feel like those individuals, yes, they come up with albums. Yes, they are in features. Yes, they have their own singles, but they're doing so many other things to be famous out here. Okay. They're models. They have their own makeup line. They have their own hairline. They have their own clothing line. They sponsor a lot of other businesses, of other people that's utilizing them as a sponsor. Sweetie has a sponsorship with, and I forgot the liquor company. She does a lot of promo ads for them, particularly on her YouTube account. I mean, not YouTube, Instagram account. But she was also featured in a Call of Duty ad last year, which Cardi B said publicly that she had that deal, but when she got into it with all that messiness between her and Tasha K and her and Cardi B, a lot of those corporate deals that she could have gotten, she could have gotten those bags. Unfortunately, shined a lot of negativity, and a lot of those corporations started to just move away from those situations with Cardi B. But when you talk about a sweetie as well as the City Girls, they just got so many other things that they're making money off of. They don't have to really necessarily depend on one thing. I do feel like it's a combination of everything. If you look at Sweetie's Instagram profile, she gets a million views on her twerking and on her wearing skimpy outfits and things of that nature. But when it comes to her music doesn't even resonate half of what she gets on social media. And that's because people are subscribed to her for different reasons. I feel like there are a lot of young girls out there that look at her as an inspiration, like it or not, love it or hate it. I do feel like there are a lot of women her age or older that can identify with her. That's why they subscribe to Sweetie. And I do feel like there's some fans out there that just like her from other avenues, from her makeup line, from her clothing apparel, from her music, from a lot of different things. So someone like Sweetie just get the bag in so many different ways. Is that good? No, yes, that's good. If you can get the bag in multi different ways, then that's a good thing, okay? But is she serious about being a rapper? Is she serious about the hip hop culture? To a certain extent, I think she's serious in a lot of her collaborations and a lot of her projects that she does. But no one's not going to misconstrue and say that Sweetie is the best female lyricist of all time. She's never going to reach that type of respect. And even Sweetie knows that, hey, she loves to make music. She loves to be in music, but she doesn't consider herself the best female artist. Okay, it's not that deep or not that serious to Sweetie, and I feel like that's a good thing. I think a lot of people look at these sales and go, well, she's not a good rapper, or she doesn't make good music, and that can be further from the truth. Plus, when you're talking about mixed albums and EPs, if you don't have a real hardcore fan base that support your music that hard, it's hard to sell EPs or just a single and make mad listening and make mad money from it. Okay, so that's just my humble opinion about Sweetie. Like I said, people are taking this information and using it to prove a point that she's not the best rapper, or proving a point that she's just not a good person. You can look at these numbers and say to yourself, as a social media influencer, she can just get the bag a multitude of ways, and she just got another avenue of revenue. Okay, so it's not solely based on one thing. It can be based on a multitude of things. So that's all I got for Sweetie. Guys, if you guys be sure to get the algorithm going for this podcast. I really do want to upload 2 or 3 episodes a week, but we got to get the numbers up, all right? So we're going to move on to our next topic. And my next topic is, I'm really having concerns about Blade, the new version of Blade. I mean, they confirm who's going to be starring in the Blade movie, who's going to represent Blade. We're not going to go down that road, but the Blade project has had some setbacks as far as production goes, as far as writing goes, and I do have some concerns about the next version of Blade. Now, the first version of Blade, when you talk about in the big screen, Wesley Snipes, perfected Blade. He was the essence of Blade. And I remember him saying this on an interview. For him to prepare as Blade, he would just be in costume and walk around the house speaking, talking, and thinking like Blade, as well as the martial art training that he went through with Blade, which, by the way, Wesley Snipes is heavily athletic. He been doing martial arts even before Blade. If you check out his other movies, he's been very heavy in the martial art realm, and that's back in the 90s, Wesley Snipes wanted to be a bigger action movie star than Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay? But when he took on the role as Blade, it just put Blade onto this, to the silver screen, and made a huge hit for Marvel. It really got Marvel out of the dumpster, because at that particular time, Marvel was selling their properties to other studios and to other networks just to funnel money. And they came from a long way from where they used to be to where they are now. But I do have concerns on this new version of Blade, and it's not the character that's going to be portraying Blade. I've been hearing a lot of rumors that they're trying to move away from the Wesley Snipes version of Blade to more of an intellectual Blade. It's not going to have too many fight scenes, which was like a lot of cause and concern for me. It was going to have a lot of intellectual moments. It was going to, be heavily involved in gadgets, heavily involved with the co-stars and things of that nature. That was the first written script for it. And when it made the desk of Marvel, they were not too pleased with it, and they had to rewrite a lot of things all over again. Now, particularly the ideal of Blade, I just felt like Blade is not Batman. I do feel like the writer and director who was first aboard on this Blade project, they wanted this new version of Blade to be an intellectual that uses his mind, that uses his mind over his brute physical attributes. And that was word around the campfire. If you look at the comic book character of Blade, and once again, these movies don't have to sync one for one like in the comic books, but Blade was always a guy that would shoot first and ask questions later. He was always a guy that would wear his opponents, the villains down with his physical feats more than his mental attributes. Okay, it had less to do about gadgets and more to do about his sword. He was more of a slasher. He was more of a bruiser. He was more of a warrior, okay? Not a mindless warrior, not a robot, not a zombie, okay? The man is intellectual, but he chooses to use his brute tactics than his mind. And when they first wrote the first introductory script, they wanted him to be more of an intellectual, and I was not feeling it. Luckily, Marvel wasn't feeling it, and now they're going back into the drawing board. Now, they've been back on the drawing board, and even though they got a new team and things of that nature, I'm still worried about the end result of Blade, okay? What ultimately they're trying to do with this IP and with this character, okay? They did talk, we did hear Blade's voice in the internals, and there's going to be other characters that's going to be featured in Blade, as well as other movies coming from Marvel. And I was excited. It would have been great if we would have gotten a cameo from Blade from the internal scene as he said that line. And I can feel a lot better by looking at him and his outfit and his demeanor. That would have told me what type of Blade we would have ultimately gotten. Are they really trying to bring out a book smart Blade, or a Blade that uses his fist to solve his problems? Okay. And I'm getting kind of worried and paranoid what type of version Blade we're going to get. Maybe next summer in Comic-Con, they will have some type of footage for the new Blade. Now, they have been showing some footage of Guardians of the Galaxy. You also had this leaked concept art and these leaked concept videos of the possibility of some other characters that's going to make it into the Marvel Universe. We're going to have to wait and see. There was a lot of speculation about, the Incredible Hulk, making that universe a bigger universe. I love the Incredible Hulk, but a standalone Incredible Hulk, I don't know how that's going to work. Plus, I think Hulk works better with the Avengers, or doing a cameo with another superhero coming from the Marvel Universe. You know, the Incredible Hulk as a standalone, I'm kind of worried about that. But that's, but Marvel has been secretly quiet on what they're working on and what we may see at Comic-Con. And they're unusually quiet. Now, typically, they are kind of quiet. They don't really say too much. They keep everything tight-lipped. Jimmy Kimmel interviewed Don Shield, and he mentioned to the Don, are they working on a War Machine movie? And Don didn't really say too much about it. He sort of kind of was placating with Jimmy. He didn't confirm nor deny a lot of stuff. But he did, there was a lot of questions he was asking, like Arnold Schwarzenegger was supposed to play Titanium Man, and Don Shield, I don't know if he was being an actor or he really didn't know. And he basically said, are y'all just making characters up as y'all go along with this story? It sort of made me think either he was being a very professional, he must be an extraordinary talented actor, or there may be some truth to what the rumors are going on. But of course, Don Shield said he can't really talk about it, which he shouldn't talk about it. I'm pretty sure he's under contract and things of that nature. But I have heard a lot of campfire tales of the possibility of Tony Stark's Robert Downey Jr. Playing Tony Stark in some iteration of the Iron Man universe movie. Now, I don't think it's going to be a standalone Iron Man movie. It's going to be hard for them to explain that, by the way, since he's supposed to be dead. They're trying to throw out these other superhero characters from the Iron Man universe and see how that goes for them. And we're just going to have to wait and see how all this plays out. Like I said, we have to wait until Comic-Con before next summer, before we can even start talking about that stuff. And speaking about these movies, I'm not sure we're going to get these movies or not. Wakanda Forever numbers the second week was not that good, which kind of worried me. You know, who they chose. I feel like that's a two-parter. I feel like the reason why the ticket numbers are low is because it's a movie about Black Panther, but there was no Black Panther. It was just the assistant characters, the secondary characters, and the second version and the third version of characters that they're cultivating into this Wakanda Forever. Even though they had Sub-Mariner in it, I thought Sub-Mariner was great. They did have a cameo of a previous character from the original Black Panther. I'm not going to tell you guys who it is because, you know, maybe some of you people that are listening to this podcast haven't even watched it yet. But they're saying the numbers are very low. And they also said that Black Adam was numbers were higher than Wakanda Forever. You know, look, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in that movie. Henry Cavill is like reprised his role as Superman. I don't think I should have said that, but it's everywhere by now. And just having those two characters alone, even though Henry Cavill was only like a couple of seconds, still, I think there's enough there. Pierce Brosnan was in there as well. I feel like I can't wait until this makes its way to HBO Max, which, by the way, Black Adam should be on HBO Max sometime before the new year starts. Now, they already said with Wakanda Forever, we won't see that on Disney Plus until next year. Not early. They didn't say early next year. I do feel like it's going to be sometime in the middle of next year till we can see Wakanda Forever. But back to Wakanda Forever, I felt like, be honest with you guys, they should have brought back Killmonger, even though he died in the original movie. I felt like that would have added a flair that they went totally different with it, even though a lot of people were suspecting that Michael B. Jordan was going to reprise his role as Killmonger. I just felt like people would appreciated it more that way. I'm not saying that people are not watching it because there are Black women that are in the lead role position and none of these women are interesting or appealing. You know, but my thing of it is, having Killmonger somehow explain why he's alive and now he's going to be the and then the way how they written Wakanda Forever, it would have fit more perfectly with Michael B. Jordan versus what they ultimately chose for this movie. I do feel like it's not going to be like Black Widow. Black Widow, first couple of weeks, it was making the record numbers, and then after that, it fizzled. It was a great movie, but there was a lot of unexplained stuff in that movie that probably hurt the movie overall. And I feel like Wakanda Forever is going to be the same way. I feel like people are going to like the movie, but people are going to have concerns about the movie, like why they went this way, why they went that way, yada, 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 yada. I still feel like it's still a good enough movie where you should not miss it. when it, you know, if you're going to go to the movie theaters and buy a ticket for it, go right ahead. But there's a lot of people that saying, you know what, I'm going to wait for it to come on Disney Plus, and they'll watch the movie that way as well. I don't think it's going to do, Wakanda Forever is going to do extraordinary numbers like the Avengers. I think it's going to do, it's going to average equal or a little bit below the numbers Black Widow had. Okay, so yeah, that's all I got. So I hope everyone liked Comic Book Talk. No, just kidding. Had a lot of good things to talk about. If you guys want me to continue to talk about comic book stuff or things that's going down on social media, I kind of want to you know, give you a little bit of something from a different category or a different genre. Anyway, it's your boy, the host with the most. I do not brag or boast. I'm coming to you guys live from coast to coast. Please be sure to get this podcast in the podcast algorithm. Share it with your friends, family, and followers. Watch it from, listen to it from beginning to end. Also support this podcast on my YouTube channel. It's I'm Chris the Don One at youtube.com. You can go check it out as well over there. It's your boy, your host, outro.